Good morning, Los Angeles, and welcome to another edition of the Weekend Warrior Show. I'm your host, Dr. Robert Clapper. I'm an orthopedic surgeon at Cedars-Sinai. 30 years. Wow. Yesterday, I'm tired. Two hip replacements. One of the patients I know, she's listening right now in the hospital bed. Good morning. And four knee replacements. So interesting how your task as a surgeon is to take the machinery, your body that God made, whether you believe in God or not, someone made it, not a man, and rebuild it to your judgment, to see the hemisphere and the sphere of the ball and socket joint of your hip, and for me to look at it and say, yep, you were born missing half the roof of the dome of the ball and socket joint, and now I'm going to create a full dome to cover the ball. It's tremendous to have that kind of thought process to make something better in the body, but I love it. And after 30 years and 15,000 surgeries later, it just keeps getting better and better, like most things in life. You know, this is the show, if they talk about anti-aging, I love getting older. And I love pain, because pain tells you to stop. Pain is telling you that your body, not like your neighbor, not like the guy on the treadmill next to you in the gym who somehow can run forever. If you have pain, stop. It's the best information you can get that your body don't like it. So this show, and thanks for listening and telling all your friends, I love pain and I love getting older, which is the opposite of every other show you're ever going to hear. I'm particularly excited today because in studio is my good friend. Really, God put us together for a reason. I love it. The great Jeff Garland is with me. And I see him not only as a guy who loves Chicago and his beloved Chicago Cubs. He's Chicago when I see him. But he's an expert in the idea of a family at work. What do I mean by that? Because so much of his TV work, be it Curb Your Enthusiasm, The Goldbergs, he's a producer, a director, a writer, he does everything in the field. But I consider him an expert in the family, I won't call it the fake family because it's like fake news, but the fake family at work. He's an expert in that. And it made me think all week, I love that he's from Chicago, that's where he was born. And I love that he's an expert in that family we can create at work. And whether you're working in the hospital, you work at the bank, you work at ESPN, wherever it is, ultimately you do it enough, it becomes like a family for you outside your family. He's an expert in that. And I thought all week long, because I love the world of sports, I love the world of art, and I love the world of medicine, where do we see this idea of a family at work in these three worlds? So I thought all week about it. Pat Riley, the great coach of the Lakers and now the boss in Miami, interviews Michael Jordan in 1990 before he's won a ring. And Michael Jordan equals Chicago. And says to him, you know, Michael, you just won the MVP in the NBA, hasn't won a championship yet. And when you got that trophy, Pat Riley says to him, and we're going to hear this soundbite, you started to cry. Why did you start to cry? I saw Irvin Magic Johnson start to cry when he got his ring. When Dennis Rodman won the Best Defensive Player of the Year award, he started to cry. Why do you start to cry when you get these awards? And you'll hear Michael Jordan talk about it's because of the family at work. It's fascinating to me. And then I'll have some sound bites of him talking about where this comes from. And then what about in art, in music? Again, we'll go to Chicago. I thought about that because of Jeff Garland. There was a band called Chicago. This is their hit song that started it all for them, their first Grammy. Singing. If you leave now, this is in 1976, their first Grammy. The guy singing is Peter Cetera. It's a family to be in a band. But one day he wakes up and says, I'm done. I don't want to be in the band anymore. I'm leaving the family. I want to have a solo career. And this is the song from The Karate Kid that he wrote. He wrote the first one, by the way, that you just heard. But he wrote this one, only this time it's not with the band Chicago. Glory of Love. Peter Cetera is then asked on a radio station, I think out of Canada, and I have the soundbite, why would you leave the band Chicago, your bandmates, the family, to go into a solo career when you sound exactly the same as when you were in the band? Mick Jagger stays with the Rolling Stones. Bono stays with U2. What is it that allows you to be connected, and yet you still want to make a name for yourself in your professional life? It's a very interesting topic, and there's an expert sitting in the room with me about how to have that journey. Because, trust me, a comedian analyzes the craft of life better than anybody else, because that's where you find the joy, that's where you find the joke, that's where you find the humor. Is you've got to take it apart like a surgeon takes apart a knee to do a knee replacement. You got to take life apart to see the humor in it. And I can't think of anybody better to go over this family at work idea than with Jeff Garlin. Clapper Vision is going to be about the Dodgers. Last night I'm watching the Dodger game, and the pitcher, Walker Buehler, who, by the way, the Dodgers were able to get him because he had Tommy John surgery right when he's about to be drafted. But thanks to the great Dr. Job, my teacher, 1974, doing this elbow surgery on someone named Tommy John, changed the world of baseball. One out of four baseball pitchers have had this surgery now. You watch last night, and Walker Buehler can throw a baseball at 100 miles an hour. But the reason I want to talk about it is not just so much to talk about Dr. Job and the fact that he saved baseball with this operation he came up with, but for something for you all to appreciate, and I have a clap revision for you. When we do surgery on Ryu, when we do surgery on Urias, and any of these, and you do them on college baseball players, professional baseball players, these guys can throw 100 miles an hour. You have to be very careful as a surgeon, because when you get inside their shoulder joint, you're going to see a lot of abnormalities. Rips in the capsule, the labrum's a little bit detached, all these things that maybe don't make sense to you, but you'll hear the terminology. They make sense to me. But as a surgeon, you have to be very careful not to fix everything you see that's abnormal. Why is that? Because I'm here to tell you, biomechanically, we're not made to throw a baseball at 100 miles an hour. So when the athlete does do that, they are actually forcing the joint into abnormal territory. So things have to tear, things have to rip, things have to get stretched out. And what a challenge it is for us as surgeons to say, this is what we have to fix that's causing his pain. This you better leave alone. And my clapper vision is the best one I could come up with. When I grew up, you bought a pair of Levi's jeans, you put it in the washing machine 400 times, and it got to be faded. And it actually got so thin, you'd have a hole in it. When I grew up, we used to put a patch over it. Now, you can spend $1,000 for a pair of jeans that has a hole in it. To this day, I don't understand this, but that's the style. But we would look forward to the worn-out jeans. I'd look forward to the small hole that I would get because they were worn in. Don't fix the hole in my pants. Because it actually, nowadays, people appreciate the style. But it's the same kind of thing. It's a hole. I get it. It's not perfect. But that's what I love. Same thing when you operate on that baseball pitcher. You better not fix all the things you see, because he may not be able to throw 100 miles an hour again. There's my clapper vision for Walker Buehler, Ryu, and Urias. All right, let's get into today's show. Since I talk so much, I have very little time for the first segment. At 7:15, we'll talk to Jeff Garlin. But what's fascinating to me is the whole idea of the family at work. Here's Pat Riley talking to Michael Jordan about the first time he's really getting recognized for being the best and he cries.
What about this moment? I mean, that moment is a very profound moment. I mean, there's got to be something behind what happened that night. I saw it with Irvin. Irvin, when he got his assist record, broke down. Dennis Rodman, when he won his Defensive Player of the Year award, unashamedly cried. And here, Michael Jordan wins the Most Valuable Player and sort of breaks up. I mean, why?
This particular time, I was being given that MVP by my teammates, by people that I play with and I'm with 8 months out of the year, instead of the media, who I see quite a bit. But my players actually gave me that because of the way they played, I feel. And that was very touching for me. And when they said that they were going to go out there and help me receive this, you know, I did all I could just to hold back the tears, because they really showed to me what they really felt for me to win that award. And for them to go out there and receive it with me showed to me like it was a family situation. It was a unity all year long.
It's a family at work. And you watch the interview, he's almost tearing up just talking about his teammates.
You don't get many opportunities.
Sure.
If you don't win a title, you said you would still feel like you had a whole, very fulfilling career.
I would. It would be disappointing.
This is before Michael Jordan actually wins six championships, six rings. It's an amazing story of him feeling connected. And at 8 o'clock, you'll hear more about him talking about his brother, his father. The family at home is what he saw, and he just tries to recreate it in his work life. What about in music and in art? Let's talk about the band Chicago. Beautiful music. They came together in 1967. Peter Cetera did everything. Wrote the songs, produced the songs, sang the songs. Just like Jeff Garlin. He could do it all in comedy. Produce, direct, write, everything, act. But then he leaves. And here's Peter Cetera answering the question. You left. You sound just like the guy from Chicago. Why would you leave?
That's what you felt, huh? Did you listen to the rest of the album? That's my sound. Why would I not take that with me? I mean, why would I leave something that is so great like that and just leave it? I mean, that's me. That, you know, that's like, you know, saying, well, I'm going on my own, but even though I do this so well, I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, I mean, I take with me what is mine, and that's, on the contrary, people should have said, oh my God, look at Glory of Love, but that's you, isn't it? That's not, nobody else had anything to do with that. I mean, it's not Chicago, not David Foster or anything. That's Peter Cetera trademark.
Wow.
And then once into the album, you would have seen that there's a little bit, you know, there's a harder, you know, raw rock and roll stuff on the album also. It just so happens, you know, when you have hits with ballads like I've had, people tend to think that that's all you do, you know, as opposed to when you listen to the album, you realize that there's more than just two ballads on it, you know?
Fascinating.
Because I wanted to do it with myself. I wanted people to know that that was me, that wasn't Chicago, that wasn't David Foster, that wasn't anybody else, that was Peter Cetera. And if I continued doing those songs with Chicago, they would never know that, would they? I think there comes a time there came a time in my life when I just went, hey, listen, I've been doing this for so long, and nobody knows that I do this. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody knew that I, Peter Cetera, did this?
The ego.
And when that song came out, you know, I told somebody else the story before that I live up in Idaho in the local radio station, and I heard this because I was up there when the single came out. They played Glory of Love, and they said, and that's the new single by Chicago. And some friends of mine said, would you call those dinks up and tell them that? I said, no, it'll. By the second week, they said, and that was the new single by Pete Satori. My friend said, would you call those jerks up and tell them a joke? I said, no.
And finally?
Third week, it was, that's the new single by Pete Cetera. Finally, by the fourth week, they said, and that's the new single by Peter Cetera on his Solitaire. I mean, you know, I wasn't about to go and say, yes, my name is Peter Cetera, and I'm a local here. You know, so I just, people were calling up for me, and it was quite funny. So I just think that's basically, you know, in a nutshell, what I'm kind of fighting, you know, is like getting people to know, you know, who I am, what I sound like, and what I do, and kind of some, I mean, I just happen to write great love songs, you know, and that's nothing to be ashamed of, and if it sounds like somebody else, it sounds like me.
It's a fascinating story. I get that basketball is a team, so you can't stand out really as an individual. You need your teammates to win. But Michael Jordan enjoyed that second family at work. Peter Cetera, I'm not saying he didn't enjoy it, but you can hear in his voice, he wants you to know it's Peter Cetera, not Chicago. Fascinating. I cannot wait to talk to the great Jeff Garland about what exactly goes on with the family at work. We all need to do it, but we all need the recognition as well. And how do you balance that? It's fascinating. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. What a treat for all of us to have the great Jeff Garland in the studio today.
Do you know that I'm board certified? I, when I heard them say that in your intro, I thought I should be a board certified comedian.
Like a Vienna hot dog from Chicago is certified.
Yeah, yes. Yes, certified.
Which you can get at Marty's. I was going to talk about food today with you because there's a hot dog, a Chicago-style hot dog.
Is it Vienna?
So, number one, Marty's, next to the fire station on Pico by Prosit, I think it is, near Rancho Park Golf Course, the home of the combo. But the
Marty's there. Yeah,
the
I see Marty's
hot
there.
Dog.
They have their Vienna?
They're from Vienna. They get them shipped in specially from Chicago.
You know, there was an amazing story on This American Life with Ira Glass. He did a story on Vienna hot dogs. They modernized their system, and their hot dogs were looking gray. This is true. The hot dogs, when they modernized it, did not look right. And what they realized is there was a guy pushing a cart, and the amount of time it took for him to get the cart over and everything gave them a flavor and a look. So they went back to the old way. I don't know who's pushing the cart, but they went back to the old way of doing it.
There's a great book. It's out of print, but see if you can get it, called The Emperors of Chocolate. And it's a book, a fascinating book about the Mars family, very secretive family.
Mm-hmm.
They also own Purina, all the dog food, cat food. But they,
yeah, but they don't tell people that.
Exactly. The Mars candies, they better not get it confused.
Yeah, yeah.
And the story of Milton Hershey. So Hershey and Mars, the two chocolate empires. Because chocolate's a secret recipe.
Right.
Fundamentally, it's oil and water, cocoa butter and water, which don't mix. Only the Swiss would come up with a secret way of getting oil and water to mix.
Lots of secrets in chocolate.
Lots of 1,600 molecules make up chocolate. One of them is the same molecule that's in rotting fish. If you don't have that molecule, it don't taste like chocolate.
Wow.
Amazing. But the reason I'm telling you the story is Milton Hershey, one of the sweetest human beings to ever grace this planet, one day he's got, you know, Hershey, Pennsylvania. He's making all the chocolate with his secret recipe. And they come and they say, Milton, you can make a lot of money. We've got a new conveyor belt. We got a this, we got a that, and you can eliminate all these employees. You'll make more money. And Milton Hershey looked at the guy and said, get your piece of machinery out of my factory. I need to employ these people. They need jobs. Milton Hershey, a saint.
But that's the way.
That's the way to do it right. That's why it tastes good.
Be. It should be. Yeah.
So.
And by the way, he was, if you really look at it, a chocolatier, which is one of the great titles. It's better than brewmaster, if you ask me. Brewmaster's pretty gosh darn good. But a chocolatier, you almost think that you have like a sword. And you walk around with boots, you're a chocolatier.
My favorite modern-day chocolatier, his name, Jacques Torres.
Okay, the fact that you even said modern-day chocolatier. All right, Jacques Torres, yes.
He has a place over the Brooklyn Bridge on the Brooklyn side, not the Manhattan side,
right,
which was a burnt-out, bombed-out, like the South Bronx place, meat factories out of business. And he goes into this place. It's called Dumbo.
Mm-hmm.
Acronym, Down Under the Manhattan Bridge Overpass. You know, heroin addicts, although, I mean, it's a mess. Jacques Torres says, this is where I will have my chocolate shop. And the whole area now is art galleries. It's all gentrified.
By the way, you know what the second thing he said? It was, this is the only place I can afford. That was the second thing he said, but that's not going down in history.
If you love chocolate,
yes,
you got to go to Jacques Torres in over the, you can walk over the Manhattan Bridge to get there, or the Brooklyn Bridge. He, number one, takes cornflakes and puts chocolate, dips them in chocolate. He takes Cheerios, dips them in chocolate. They're the most delicious thing, but he makes a chocolate chip ice cream sandwich with homemade chocolate ice cream with chocolate chip cookies in between. And you don't have to wait online because there's a line out the door. It's right there in the freezer. You can go get it. You will take a bite and you will see, you'll hear music and you will go right to heaven. It's amazing.
And ironically, they play Hard Habit to Break by the band Chicago. As sung by
Talk to me about Peter Cetera. Talk to me about what he's really telling us here, Jeff Garland. In his family at work, the band that he loves.
There's a few levels to this.
Okay.
The band started out in Chicago. And by the way, Peter Cetera, what people don't know, is a fantastic bass player. Like, a phenomenal bass player. Not a lot of heroes in the history of music right. where you go, phenomenal bass player. But you listen to their early music. And their early music, they were the first rock band to use horns. They and Blood, Sweat, and Tears were doing it similar. Same producer, ironically. But what happened was they were a great band. And then along the way, they lost a key member who accidentally killed himself, this guy Terry Kath. He was the guitarist. Hmm. He sang on the song Color My World and also Wish You Were Here and 25 or 6 to 4. No, he played, he didn't sing 25. Anyhow, point being is they lost him. The band lost their soul. They had hits. If You Leave Me Now happened before he died. All right. So a guy like Peter Cetera is part of this family. This band, this family. Well, as they move along, they become less popular. This producer, David Foster, famous producer, comes along and they have some hits. They become relevant again. They sell a lot of albums. But the way David Foster produced, it really singled out Peter Cetera. Mm. So what happened was by bringing this stranger in, it brought success to the band, but it kind of took apart the band as a family. It became, let's become successful, okay? Like kind of like the chocolatier guy didn't let the metal guy in with the thing
conveyor
that would help.
Belt.
Yeah, the conveyor belt. They let the guy in with the conveyor belt. And so Peter Cetera knows it's his beautiful voice, and he does have a beautiful voice. It's his style that they're making their big hits with. He's like, you know what? I'm only going to have to listen to me. I don't have to be part of a family anymore. Because everyone wants to leave their family eventually, you know, just to go out on your own. And that's what he did.
Mick Jagger, Bono, why don't they do it?
Because I think there's, well, this is no offense to Peter Cetera, who I have opened for and is a very kind gentleman and I think very talented, but they're smarter. Because it... You know, there's this term about, you know, they would approach me, do you need help with branding? Like, you know, different people have said. And it really is the brand of Led Zeppelin, let's say, or the Rolling Stones is much bigger than the brand of Robert Plant or Mick Jagger. Now, mind you, Mick Jagger's iconic. He don't sell albums. Rolling Stones. Robert Plant. His solo albums do not sell. Occasionally he had a hit or two, but don't sell. Led Zeppelin's albums fly off the shelves. So, and same with U2. If Bono did solo, there'd be some interest, but not like U2. It's really the... Jeff Lynne is a great example, who started Electric Light Orchestra. Well, Electric Light Orchestra releases albums, but you know what they are? They're Jeff Lynne solo albums. There's no original members with Jeff Lynne. It's just Jeff Lynne. But if he released that album as Jeff Lynne, not going to sell.
Got it.
So it really is, by the way, when it comes down to it, more of an ego... an ego thing and not seeing the big picture. Mick Jagger is a great businessman. He sees the big picture, you know.
I had the privilege, you're a Chicago guy, Chicago Bears, of interviewing Dick Butkus.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Dick Butkus.
Yes.
Which probably no one has ever asked him, and maybe other people have asked you. I don't know. I said, Dick Butkus, and his response was, yeah. I mean, it was.
So
it was,
start with me the same way. Just say, just look at me and go, Dick Butkus, and I'll give you the answer you want. Go ahead, do it, do it, do it.
Dick Butkus.
Yeah.
I said, first, you know how I began the interview? I said, Dick Butkus, they didn't have this statistic when you were playing called a forced fumble.
Right.
You hit people with such force, but such precision that you didn't just tackle them. You knocked the ball loose and they fumbled the ball.
Yes.
You would have the all-time record. He said, yeah, that's great. You know, that was his response. I said, Dick Butkus, do you know who you remind me of? Someone who hit so hard but with precision. He said, who? I said, Michelangelo the sculptor. He didn't just hit the marble with a hammer and a chisel. He hit it with precision. You remind me of Michelangelo. And Dick Butkus, he pauses and he's probably saying to himself, in my whole life, nobody's ever confused me with Michelangelo. And Dick Butkus then says, he's one of my favorites. Uh-huh. And then I asked him the question I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
I said, Dick Butkus, your father was an electrician. What is it that you, and you had six brothers ahead of you, you were like seven boys. What did you learn from your father, the electrician, that allowed you to be the greatest football player? And he paused because nobody ever asked him that question before. And he said, I had six older brothers, and they were lucky because they got to spend time with my dad at work. This is family at work, the topic today. And I was the little one, so I couldn't. And I was always jealous of that, he said. But I'll tell you a story, he said. He was an electrician, and he was putting the electrical wires in the Pullman trains. That was his job. And I'm at home one night, about to have dinner. My dad comes in, eats in like 5 minutes, and gets up from the table. My mother says to him, where are you going? You just sat down to eat dinner. Your son is here. And he looked at me, he looked at my mom, and he said, Frank, you know, the guy up the street, I fixed his refrigerator last week, but it's out again. I got to go. I got to make it right. He said, and I remember that moment. My dad taught me, if you do it, you got to do it right. You can't leave it as a loose end. That's what I learned from my father, the electrician. Your dad was in the plumbing supply business, right?
Yes, sir.
He then sold the business and then moved the family to Florida.
Yes.
What did you learn from the plumbing supply business and your dad that allowed you to see the world through such a beautiful, comedic way?
Okay. I can't say my dad had nothing to do with that. My dad prepared me for life as a human being, not as a comedian. It was so foreign to him that I went into comedy. And he was so thrown by it. We didn't get along for a few years. And then he started coming to my shows and he loved it. And by the end of his life, he could not think I was funnier. But what my dad did prepare me for, and I did go to work with him at the plumbing supply business, and I did work. I went to work with my father throughout my whole life, and I spent a lot of time with my father. You know what I learned about my father? Number one, my father, don't believe the hype. Just go about your business, do what you do, and don't pay attention to the stuff in between. The stuff that truly doesn't matter. All that matters is that I'm funny and I work hard and do a great job. The other stuff doesn't matter. So he helped me with the skills that sort of surround my comedy. My mother was a funny character, you know, but I was born with this gift. I can honestly say, I look at it, it was not a learned gift. I mean, I learned the craft of comedy with the gift of comedy, which has led me to be successful. You don't have to be funny to get into comedy because you can learn the craft of comedy, which is a very specific, precise thing. And people have learned it and had successful careers. They will never be great. There's never been a craftsman that someone said, that guy is great. That woman is hilarious, because they're not. So I took the craftsmanship of it seriously because of my father, and I applied my talent.
Wow. All right, we'll take a break, Curtis. I can talk to you for hours. Thank God that you're here in the studio.
Well, you know why? I'm board certified.
Like a Vienna hot dog from Chicago. All right, the number is 877-710-ESPN. I want to tell you something that I saw this week in the office as well. The difference between osteoporosis and osteoarthritis. They're two different things, but they actually are related because when you hurt, you limp. You don't put all your weight on your leg. And guess what happens? I'll tell you. Coming up next on the Weekend Warriors Show here on ESPN LA 710. Welcome back, Weekend Warriors.
And by the way, that is 25 or 6 to 4, and that's Peter Cetera singing.
Really?
Yep, that's Peter Cetera. But that's when he was part of a band.
So talented.
Yeah, and so later on, here's the thing. They became so popular based on the songs that he sang. So he didn't want to put up with having a family. And having a family is work. But having a great band, having a great basketball team, all of it is work, you know? So yeah. Even if you want to take a break, or you should say to the band, I need to make a solo album, I'll be back in 5 minutes, or whatever it is, you know?
You know, in the office, my office, 30 years, I have the same people working for me. When I go to the operating room, Don Aiello, this is the same nurse I've worked with for 30 years.
She's board certified?
She's board certified. She's the greatest. People in the operating room. I love making teams. It makes your life much easier.
By the way, as a filmmaker,
yes,
which I use that word loosely with me, although,
body
of work, it'll show. Love working with the same crew, same people.
Tell me about your other life, kind of off to the side.
Right.
I had Tim Matheson as a guest.
Johnny Quest.
Exactly. People don't realize that was his first job as
Johnny Quest. That's all I got
to
say.
That's all you have to say, Johnny Quest. So you did Toy Story 3, right? You're
all
over.
Toy Story 3, Toy Story 4, the movie WALL-E.
So what's that like in terms of the
That's
craft?
The opposite of a family, although there is, you do develop a family with the producers and the director, but you're never working with other actors. You're alone in the room with one sheet of paper at a time.
Wow.
And then you have to use your imagination. And I got to tell you, when you're done doing a three-hour session,
You're exhausted.
Maybe even more so than a 10-hour day on a set. Mm. Because using your mind that way is exhausting. You burn up a lot of fuel.
You do. Isn't that interesting? The tiredness that you get from mental activity versus physical.
And especially Pixar, they're doing great work, you know, and animation. That is really, really, really difficult work. Precise.
I just know as a surgeon, in cases you have to think so much. Did you ever wrestle in high school?
I did wrestle in high school for a short time. My big sports were football and played baseball.
All the sports I've ever done, I rode crew in college. We've all played basketball, baseball. Oh. The most exhausting, pound for pound, second for second, is wrestling. And I don't know why.
I know why. Because you're physically engaged with, you know, when you're playing baseball, you're standing in the outfield, you're standing at shortstop, you're waiting on the pitch for a few seconds of action. Football, even. I mean, your alignment, even. You're pounding against somebody for a few seconds. But wrestling, it goes and goes and goes. And at all times, you're trying to outthink and overpower your opponent. So, of course, it's the most exhausting.
Yeah, of all the things.
I mean, even soccer, where you're constantly running, you're not using that physical
upper and lower extremity.
Yeah, against another person. Yeah. I mean, if they combined wrestling and soccer, yeah, there you got something. But soccer, I mean, wrestling, that's the most exhausting.
Chicago hot dogs, you have a favorite place when you used to eat them? Or
guess what? My favorite place, I have two.
Tell me.
I love going to the Vienna Hot Dog Factory.
Chicago?
Where the employees eat.
Huh.
Yep. And I get a Vienna Hot Dogs there. By the way,
what do you put on the hot dog?
If I'm in control, just mustard.
Wow.
But I'll do the Chicago dog. Like when, if I go into a place, I just say, just make it Chicago dog. I don't include the hot peppers, but you've got the relish salt. I mean, the celery salt. You've got the relish. You got pickles. You got tomatoes.
Chopped onions.
What's that?
Chopped onions.
Chopped onions. Yep. It's a delight. But my favorite place to go.
In L.A.
No, in Chicago. Wiener Circle. Hmm. It's called the Wiener Circle. It's an experience.
I'll fly to Chicago just to have this hot dog.
Well, you should. I'm going. Me. I bought season tickets to the Bears. So I'm going to be flying to Chicago at least a half a dozen times this year.
Did you ever see a game at Soldier Field?
Well, yeah, it's still there.
It's still at Soldier Field?
Yeah, they just redid it. If you drive by Soldier Field, it looks like the old Soldier Field, and a spaceship has landed in the old. And it's gorgeous on the inside. On the outside, it's kind of bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's freezing cold, although now it's a dome.
It's not a dome. It's
still outdoors.
And there are times later in the year where it's freezing cold, but plenty of times the weather's delightful.
Coldest day of your life. Do you remember it in Chicago?
I can't say yes, but I can't say the specific temperature below, but I know there were times. Now, Chicago's not known as the Windy City because of actual wind. It's because of politics. Mm-hmm. That's how it got its nickname. However, the corner of Oak Street and Michigan Avenue, which is right by the lake, in the winter, I have stood on that corner, not for very long, and the amount of swear words coming out of my mouth. And by the way, I used to walk down the street. I remember this so clearly. I used to walk down the street and repeat the F word over and over and over again as I walked. And the cold would cut through you. You got to get indoors at some point.
Who knew the F word could actually warm you up?
Well, by the way, it kept an energy that helped me survive. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you're onto something here.
Yes, yes, yes.
You don't need a heater anymore. Just say these 100 words in a row. By the way, it's the same word.
Yeah, 100. Yeah.
It's like.
But I really did. I mean, I remember the number of times it'd be so cold that that's what I'd say over and over with every step walking down the street.
I'm about to do surgery on a guy. I see him in my office. So he's a carpenter or some works with his hands. What are you going to do, his knee or whatever it is? Where are you from originally? Chicago. I said, Chicago, yeah. How long are you here? Dr. Clapper, I came here on February 2nd. I go, how can you remember the exact moment? He goes, because I left the job site to go to my truck and my windshield broke because of the freezing temperature. He goes, I got in the car and I just drove to Los Angeles. It's cold. People don't realize how cold it can be.
No, it gets
how effing cold it can
be.
Yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes.
All right, we're going to get into it. We'll take a break. We'll pay some bills. And coming up next,
I want your listeners to know that literally when we cut to commercial, Dr. Clapper has a stack of bills in here that he actually pays.
All right, Curtis.
What's going on, L.A.? This is Kobe Bryant.
I got two words for you. Forget about it.
Start your weekend off right. Listening to the Weekend Warrior Show with Dr. Clapper.
How about that Weekend Warrior Show?
Every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on ESPN, 710, home of your Los Angeles Lakers.
Welcome back, Weekend Warriors, and welcome back, Laker fans. Monday at noon, the NBA is going to release.
Oh, I was just wondering.
Schedule.
That's so funny. I actually, this morning, when I got into my Uber, I actually was like, that was my plan before I left. It was so early. I forgot, but I was like, I got to go see if they release the schedule. When they can, because I'm a Clippers season ticket holder.
I'm aware of that.
And opening night.
Opening night. Yeah. You are playing the Lakers.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Christmas, yeah. I think it's a home game for the Lakers.
Right, yes. It's reversed at Christmas time, yeah.
But every game this season is going to be, I mean, can you imagine what Houston is going to be like? How are those two guys going to get along? Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook.
I don't know.
There's only one basketball.
Yeah,
maybe they'll invent something. They'll cut it in half at one end, and at the end of the court, they'll put the ball together.
By the way, that'd be really funny. They could pull that off. Listen, we're not going to go for the championship, but we're going to do something that's never been seen. We've got this neat guy here named Charlie. Charlie, what do you do? I got a saw. And what are you going to do, Charlie? I'm going to cut the ball in half. give it to the
to Chris Paul.
Chris Paul's playing in another city. I'm going to give it to Russell Westbrook and any of you no-name players. I'm not giving the ball to Harden.
I can't wait to see how Paul George plays. He's had two shoulder surgeries.
Yes.
A rotator cuff on one side and a little torn labrum on the other. Kawhi Leonard, it looks like his quad injury is better, but he did look like he was limping a little bit.
Hey, it all works out as long as you keep him fresh for the playoffs.
The one thing you guys have that we don't have anymore is Jerry West.
By the way, a trail of success. He's remarkable.
He's just, he has the vision like a sculptor. Jerry West, if I interviewed Jerry West, I would tell him, you're like Michelangelo, that you can see through the skin of a player to be able to make the diagnosis that they have that it factor that's going to launch their career. His ability to eye talent. Derek Fisher, I mean, this is somebody that he somehow saw, but he also, I will tell you this, Dr. Buss didn't go to medical school. He's not a medical doctor like Dr. Clapper. He has a PhD in chemistry. People don't realize that. His success, he's a gambler. You got to be a gambler to be an owner. But you also have to know how bonding occurs. Water is two hydrogens and an oxygen. You know what happens when you only have one hydrogen and one oxygen? You get peroxide. You actually need two hydrogens to bond with the oxygen, and then you get water, which is W-A-T-A-H, by the way. There's no R in water. The fact that he knows how bonding occurs allows him to understand how to put players and executives and how to put the teams together. This was the gift. A chemist with a gambler is Dr. Buss. That's why he's the greatest that there is. God bless Steve Ballmer. Probably one of the most fun, great guys to be around. And he's essentially a smart man. He's trying to duplicate exactly what the early Lakers did.
But what he's doing is he's delegating to the right people the power.
Yes.
You know, Doc and, you know, all of them. He's just there hiring great people. And now I've been reading articles about the Washington Wizards. They've been copying the Clippers. Clippers haven't won a championship, and other teams are already copying them.
That's what's going to be so interesting, though, Jeff Garland, because there is this air in the Staples Center, the ghost of Dr. Buss, whatever you want to call it, that allows us to have LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Kyle Kuzma. What an unbelievable team we have. This first game?
No, it's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. You better be there. You have to.
I have season tickets.
You have to reschedule. You can't make a movie during this first game.
It's a big bowl of I'm all there. Here's how much I'm all there. 1 week is the New Orleans Saints are in Chicago, and then I was going to stay in Chicago for the week until the following Sunday when the Chargers are in Chicago. But opening night is in between, so I'm flying home to be able to go to opening night. Then I'll go back to Chicago.
People don't realize how exciting it is to see a live sporting event. Something special happens in the air.
Well, by the way, I've also been to live sporting events where the teams are not very good, and there's nothing special in the air.
There's nothing special in the air.
Except for the fact that, like, somebody organized this, and you go, oh, look at all the organization it took to put this together. But when there's an energy, and you know that opening night, that may have, for Los Angeles, only basketball game.
Center of the universe.
But that may have the most energy for a non-playoff LA-only basketball game ever.
Ever. Ever in the history of Los Angeles, you're going to be at the first game.
Yeah.
Because I'm a Lakers season ticket holder. Right. I ain't getting a ticket to the Clipper game.
Right.
You, and I'm not here to ask you for one either. I have plenty of tickets. I can barely figure out how to go to all the games.
I know who I'm taking already.
Who?
Julie Bowen.
Really?
Yeah, from Modern Family. She's my friend. She's a big Clipper fan like me. I said, I want you next to me opening night. So Julie will be with me opening night.
You know, you are the expert, certainly to me, this whole idea of the nurturing, the nourishment that comes, which is what the Clippers are going to have to figure out, is how to be a family.
Well, see, now, if I may, That's why I look at the Clippers in higher regard, forget being a fan, in higher regard than the Lakers, because the Clippers, what those two guys are coming into is a cohesive, solid family. Mm-hmm. Boom. Boom. That's why the Clippers are going to be scary this year, because they have the family. So it's only two guys fitting into a family. And by the way, not only is it two guys, but the two best guys are coming into a family. And so they're going to be welcomed, and it's going to be, I mean, great. Whereas the Lakers have to build a family. That's what has to happen.
Not
now.
Only that, two guys whose families are actually from the neighborhood.
From Southern California. I know that adds a
family
lot of levels.
Family is what's going to happen on game one.
That's why I think
all
the
right,
Clippers
coming up
are
next,
pretty.
I want to play for you some sound bites of the great Michael Jordan talking about where his inspiration comes from. The family that he played with on the team, but the father and the brother that really nurtured him in the beginning. You'll hear all of this coming up next on the Weekend Warriors Show with my guest, Jeff Garland.